Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. The word of God this morning from our epistle in 1 John chapter 3. St. John writes, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are." This is God's word. It's not the first time I've said this. In Bible study, those who come to it have heard me say it. Grammar is important. And grammar can teach you some marvelous theology. When I went to seminary back in 2001, I got to campus and the first thing I had to take was Greek, because the New Testament is written in Greek. And the first thing we had to do in Greek class was a review of English grammar. I'm glad they did it. I've seen these posts on social media. It says things like, oh, we need to quit making our kids focus on things like advanced composition and algebra 3. And rather, they should be learning how to change the oil on their car, how to balance their checkbook, and how to come up with a budget. You know, more practical things. I hope they don't get rid of grammar, though. Because grammar can be very, very useful. And I'm going to illustrate it to you today in our epistle. Don't fall asleep on me. You're thinking, oh, he's going to talk about grammar. No. This is really good stuff. A verb, you know, verbs, action things, right? You know, I walked, I talked, I spoke, I laughed, I jumped. All those different action words, those are verbs. Verbs are what drive the sentence and what really show that something's happening. Verbs can be past tense, something that happened before, in the past, right? Self-explanatory. I walked to the store. I'm not doing it right now. It was in the past. They can also be future, things that are happening off in the future. I will walk to the store. I'm not doing it right now. I didn't already do it. It's something that's going to happen. Verbs can also be present. They can be right now. And that's what John gives us today in our gospel, our epistle. Beautiful, present reality. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. Here it comes. Are you ready for it? And so we are. That's present tense, dear friends in Christ. Right now, you and I are children of God. Right in this moment, as we sit here this morning, 3rd of November, hopefully a little bit extra rested from an extra hour of sleep, unless kids forgot the schedule that they got to sleep in an extra hour, you are up an hour early in that case. In this moment, right here, dear friends in Jesus Christ, you and I are children of God. And notice how John explains why that's possible. We are not children of God because we've been pretty good up until this point. We are not children of God because we've been such outstanding people. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. So we are. Because the Father has loved us, we are his children, and for no other reason. This day, All Saints' Day, is one that has a lot of different emphases to it. There's a lot of looking in the past on All Saints' Day. Later in our prayers today, we're going to look back and remember those from our congregation who passed away in the last year. We're going to give thanks for their lives during our prayers this morning. We look to the past. My son Paul is coming back today from Mexico City, where he went on a Spanish club trip. Some of you have heard of Day of the Dead. It's sort of a cultural adaptation of what they used to call All Souls Day, or the commemoration of the faithful departed. When you look back, there's all sorts of cultural quirks where they try to communicate with their dead loved ones. We don't do that. Christians reject that sort of thing. But they look to the past on those who have gone before them. Even that term saint suggests we're looking in the past. Who are the people we think of as saints? Well, maybe the important people in the Bible, like Saint Peter, Saint Paul, Saint John, Saint Matthew. Maybe important people in the history of the church. Last week, we talked about Martin Luther. Maybe he would be considered a saint. There's a lot of looking in the past when you talk about saints. There's also a lot of looking into the future, right? I mean, we would like to think we will be saints one day. And so we look to the future when we will be in heaven with Christ. When there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And we'll receive all the blessings that our Father has for us. And we look at that as something that lies off in the future. But today, having received this grammar lesson, I want you to all think of All Saints Day as present reality. You are children of God right now. And God's children take on their character, take on the character of their Father. They receive what He gives them. He claims them in baptism, puts His name on them, and says, "This is my child." And all my promises, all the blessings that I have in Jesus Christ, they now belong to this child. They all belong to you. Not just off in the future, not just something that happened in the past. You, dear friends in Jesus Christ, are children of God right here, right now. I want you to think how different that verse would be if it was spoken in past tense or future tense. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we were. Oof, that's uncomfortable. We might think that way. We might look back on our lives and say, yeah, God made me His child long ago, but I sure haven't been living like that. I sure haven't been doing the things that He would have me do. I'm sinful. I'm wicked. I'm not the kind of person He's made me to be. So we might look at being God's child as something, yeah, it was told of me at my baptism, but I'm certainly not that anymore. Or we might think of it as future. See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called the children of God, and so we will be. That's equally discomforting, isn't it? As though it's something that awaits us, and so there's all this pressure to attain and hold fast and press on and do the things we're supposed to do. But no, John doesn't speak in past tense. He doesn't speak in present or future tense. Right now, you are God's child. Despite your sin, despite your guilt, despite your shame, all of it has been paid for in the blood of Jesus Christ. You are God's child as we speak right here and right now. Today in our first reading from Revelation chapter 7, John, the same author of our epistle, receives this vision where he's standing before the throne of God. And God is there on His throne. There's a lamb who is Jesus Christ. There's these elders around the throne who represent the saints of the Old Testament, the saints of the New Testament. And then John sees a multitude that no one could number. And the elder, one of the elders from by the throne, asks John, "Who are these? From where have they come from?" And John says, "Sir, you know." The elder says to John, "These are the ones who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Did you know you're in the Bible? That you specifically are in there. And I'm not just talking about in a general sense, so like when it says God so loved the world, well, yeah, I'm part of the world. No, more specifically, that multitude includes you. John saw you before the throne of God and before the Lamb. And he was told of something that God had done for him through the blood of Jesus Christ, something that God had done for you. Washed your robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. See, you are God's child. You are a saint, a holy one, because God has made you so in Jesus Christ. In his blood, your robes are made white. In other words, you are covered in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Everything that can be said about Jesus can now be said about you. Is Jesus holy? Yes, he is. That means you are holy. Is Jesus sinless? Yes, he is. And now in him, you are sinless. Does Jesus please his Father? Yes, he does. And you, in Christ, please the Father as well. You know, we Lutherans are really good at talking about how sinful we are. And it's true. We are. We said it in our confession already that we are poor, miserable sinners. But hear me, dear friends in Christ, that as much as that is true, that we are poor, miserable sinners, at the very same time, in Christ, we are sinless and spotless and holy, dear, beloved children of the Father. We are saints. I remember this would be about 9 years ago after I got to my parish I served in Bear Creek, Wisconsin. And I've told this story in Bible study, but I asked on an All Saints Sunday one day this question. I said, raise your hand if you are without sin. And of course, every Lutheran in that place kept their hand down. And then I said, it was a trick question. I said to them, why do you not raise your hand? Has Jesus not taken away your sin? Did he not die on the cross for you? Does his righteousness not cover you? Because, dear children of God, it does. Just as you are poor, miserable sinner, you are equally in Christ, sinless, holy saint, beloved child of God. And you maybe heard me say before, the Bible will repeat something when it wants to emphasize it. Listen to how John does it in our epistle today. He says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. And then later on in verse 2, he repeats it. Beloved, we are God's children now. It's with that same sort of tone that Jesus spoke in our gospel today, when he spoke the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5. When he talks about all these blessings that await in the future. You can hear them in our gospel today. I'll just point out a few of them. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. They will find comfort. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. They will inherit it in the future. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. And yet Jesus tells those gathered there to hear him preach that all of these things mean that right now they are blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Not were, not will be, are. Dear friends in Christ, you are the blessed children of God, holy saints, because of all that is given to you in Jesus Christ. His death on the cross is your death. His resurrection from the grave is your resurrection to new life. His promise to come again is to come again for you, so that you can be gathered to your Father to live with him and with your Lord for all eternity. It was all given to you in your baptism. It's all given to you. Even before that, even on the cross, in the past, when our Lord gave his life into death and died, he did something on the cross in the past that gives us a future reality with our Lord for all eternity. But right now, right here, we are blessed. We are children of the Father. We are saints. Grammar shows us that, doesn't it? Right here, right now, on this All Saints Day, we in this place are the saints of God, washed in the blood of Christ, gathered to receive what our loving Father wants to give us. What does he want to give you? His Son Jesus, crucified, risen, and ascended for you. Jesus dead upon a cross for your sins. Jesus living in the face of death so that you might live. Jesus always with his church, even as he has said, I am with you always to the very end of the age. All of this belongs to you, the saints, the children of God. Thanks be to him for his gifts and the love poured out in his Son today and always. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.